Father, that you are the soon and coming King, Lord, that you reign, Father. Lord, that there is nothing impossible for you. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that you are on the throne today and every day. We love you. We praise you this morning, Father. We just come to glorify you this morning. They say this mountain can't be moved. They say these chains will never. There is power.
you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you today for the joy of gathering in your presence. The Holy Spirit, you are working, Holy Spirit, in our midst today. Thank you for the joy of Jesus in our hearts this morning, the peace of God that floods this room. Thank you for the hope that we have in you this morning, Lord. And Father, thank you for the good things that you have planned for us today. We pray, oh God, for every person in this room this morning that they would experience the touch of Jesus in their lives today. We thank you, Lord. Now, friends, as we go to the Lord together in prayer this morning, we want to remember several of our families who have sent loved ones home to be with the Lord this week. In fact, we have about several people in our congregation who are in the midst of preparations for funeral services and those kinds of things right now. We lift up Mike McMahon up in the balcony. Mike's brother Philip went home to be with the Lord last week. We're also praying for Diane King. Where is Diane? Is she back there? Diane King is here. Her mother went home to be with the Lord this week. We're praying for Mary Connor. Are you here, Mary, in this service? Mary Connor, her sister, passed into the presence of the Lord this week. Pastor Ryan Mortensen's grandmother passed away this week, a longtime Christian lady. Sister Mortensen was a longtime member of the Jamestown Assembly of God. And Marilyn Miller, a longtime member of our church family. Many of you know Marilyn and Angela, her daughter, who has come with her all of these years. Marilyn passed away into the presence of the Lord as well this week. And we're praying the Lord would bring his supernatural comfort and peace to all of them. In fact, let's agree together right now for that. Father God, thank you that you are the God of all comfort. You're not only the God of all comfort, you are the God of hope. And we thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus today. We thank you, Lord, that as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are reminded again this morning that to be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord. And we thank you for welcoming our family members into the presence of God in heaven. We rejoice in that glorious hope today. And Lord, we look forward to seeing not only you one of these days, but we look forward also to seeing our loved ones who have gone before us into heaven. So we pray a special sense of your comfort and strength upon every one of these family members who are saying goodbye today. We pray that you would just undergird them and strengthen them. May you, Lord God, be their refuge, and may underneath of them be your everlasting arms. We commit ourselves to you, Lord, for everything that we need today, and we thank you for your faithfulness in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. All right, let's take a moment right now to reach out before we're seated and greet one another in the name of the Lord. Make everybody feel welcome today, please.
Pastor, I'm going to grab this water.
Great job today. Excellent.
And then I will greet you.
That is enough today. Let's be seated, please. We have an extremely busy order of service today. So if I'll tell you what, if you'd like to be more friendly than that, wait till after service, please, if you would. Please don't visit during the sermon this morning. Just wait till after service, if you would. But we have a lot of important things to accomplish this morning. First of all, let me ask for Dr. Lisa Howard. Come on, Lisa, and stand here by me, if you would, please. We want to express today our appreciation to Pastor Lisa Howard for 6 years plus of faithful ministry as our full-time youth pastor. Yes, come on, let's stand and thank her today. Yes, yes, yes. Lisa, how long have you been involved in our youth ministry? 15 years?
16
years. When Mark and Lisa first came to First Assembly, they jumped in right away. They asked when they first made up their mind to come here, they said, we wonder if there'll even be a place for us to minister there. How many of you know, where there's a will in ministry, there's a way? And Mark and Lisa stepped in and have been so faithful in ministry for so many, many years. And several years ago, and she was our interim youth pastor on two occasions before we hired her as our full-time youth pastor. And I cannot tell you just what an excellent job and ministry Pastor Lisa has accomplished here at First Assembly. She is one of the hardest working people I have ever known in my life. She is one of the most dedicated persons I've ever known to be absolutely dedicated like a bulldog to the mission God has given her. And she has been that. But the time has come. Lisa is going to be moving to a part-time status. She's struggled, as you know, with a lot of different challenges over these last couple of years with health situations. In fact, surgery's coming up here in about a week and a half. Is that right? About a week from tomorrow, another surgery. And so Lisa will be moving to a part-time status. She'll remain on our staff as our, this is a new title for First Assembly, Youth Pastor Emeritus. And you, and the reason we have that title is because no other youth pastor has stayed this long, and I have stayed this long, but I have a different title. And so Lisa is going to be served. She's going to be on a part-time basis doing a variety of things. Mostly, she's going to be serving as a resource to our new youth pastor, and she's going to be coordinating, at least for this season, the youth Sunday school program, which she does so excellently. And we just are so grateful to God. When Ephesians chapter 4 says that pastors are gifts from God to the church, we recognize Lisa as a good, good gift. Would you say amen? Lisa, we love you. Congratulations. And you're not going anywhere far. So please keep Lisa in your prayers as she faces new challenges and a new season in her life and ministry. We have with us today our brand new full-time youth pastor who is starting his ministry here at First Assembly today, and he is no stranger to some of you. In fact, I had told him when I interviewed him in a 2.5-hour interview a few weeks ago, I told him that though I have not known him closely, I have known him literally his entire life. And his name is Pastor Malachi Snell. Come on, Pastor Malachi, and join me here on the platform. And as you can see, he doesn't need the platform as much as I do. But Pastor Malachi is the son of Aaron and Holly Snell, our longtime friends. He is the nephew to our worship leader, Heidi, who is on vacation. He is the grandson of Diane and Bill. He's also the nephew of Hannah and Hunter. And where's Phil? Phil LePage? Are you up there? Phil LePage, so funny. Phil LePage asked me last week, he said, "Now, Lowell, I've got to ask you something personal." I said, "What is it?" He said, "I just want to know if many years ago, did Evan Wall make you promise to hire as many of his family descendants as you could?" And I said, "No, he didn't promise." But how many of you know they've been a blessing to us and a gift to us? And Pastor Malachi, we welcome you today. Malachi just finished a degree at the James River Leadership College, which is a part of Evangel University as well. And he is ready to go. He is, I just learned over the years that the connections never stop at First Assembly. He is engaged to be married soon to our own Macy Fork. Macy, come on and join us up here as well. Now, Macy is the daughter of John and Stephanie Fork and the granddaughter of Mike and Bev Fork. And I don't have time to trace all of the other connections, their cousins and everybody, and John and Julie, it's good to see the other grandparents here today as well, and we're just so grateful for what the Lord is going to do in the days to come, and we believe God's blessings are just going to overflow to us. Amen? Amen. And we want to pray for Pastor Malachi and Macy. Now, I'm by faith, I'm having you both stand here together because you're not married yet, but are you going to make it to March? Okay. Pastor Malachi, give us a greeting, please, if you would.
Yes.
And Aaron, I'm going to ask you, Dad, Aaron Snell, he preached for us a few months ago, if you remember, on the subject of the sanctity of life. And Aaron, Holly, you can come too if you want to with him. In fact, anyone who wants to go, we might not ought to say that. Okay, come on. Go ahead and greet us, Malachi.
Yes, good morning, church. My name is Malachi Snell, and yes, I'm so honored to be the new youth pastor here at First Assembly. I'm honored just, you know, how this is a great church, and this is a faith-filled church, and I'm so excited to be a part of that. I am very passionate about Jesus, and I'm very passionate about young people knowing Jesus, because that's what happened in my life. And so I'm so excited to see what God's going to do, excited to see his presence, and excited to see his power. And so this is going to be a joy, and just please introduce yourself to me. I know I've met like a million of y'all today, but I want to just continue to meet you guys, and I'm so honored, and it's going to be a blast. So thank you.
Thank you, Malachi. And how many teenagers do we have in the room? Lift your hand away, way, way, way. Where are all the teenagers? Tonight at 5:30, Malachi is going to be hosting every teenager who can come and who wants to come at El Poblano, which is right small Mexican restaurant right next door to the church over here. And so 5:30, if you need a ride, both buses are going to be running tonight. Pastor Lisa has the night off tonight, but Pastor Bob and Pastor Ryan will be bus drivers this evening. If you need a ride to get there, text Pastor Bob. There's his phone number. And parents, if you drop off your kids there tonight, then we can get them home as well.
After midnight.
It might be after midnight. I know it won't be that late. But we're gonna have a great time together tonight. So come on and join us, and it'll just be an opportunity for Malachi to get to know all the kids tonight. So come on, Aaron and Holly, our dear friends. And congregation, again, stretch out this way in faith, if you would. And let's pray for the blessing of the Lord. Come on, Pastor Lisa, you join us here on the platform as well, and lay hands upon Malachi. And let's all come into agreement right now for the Lord's blessing upon this new season of ministry. And Aaron, would you lead us, please, out?
Father, thank you for this day that you have made. Thank you, you're good, you're a faithful God.
Yes.
Thank you that you are our God, we are your people. Father, I, just as we stand here with Malachi, God, I'm reminded that in the womb, you gave us his name, Malachi, God's messenger. And so in this moment, God, we commission him to step into his destiny. God, we pray for just a fresh anointing upon his life. We pray for just a fresh filling of your spirit.
Yes, Lord.
God, give him Holy Spirit eyes to see this community. God, we ask for revival in the students of Jefferson City and the surrounding areas.
In Jesus' name.
God, use him. Use this leadership team. God, we thank you for Pastor Lisa and her many years of faithful ministry here.
Thank
God, the solid foundation that has been laid. God, but we look ahead to a new season. God, would you do a new thing here? And so, Lord, we commission him for this work. God, he steps into his destiny. God, we pray that you give him wisdom from above. God, wisdom beyond his years to lead these students. God, do a new thing. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. All right, let's thank the Lord today, everybody. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Holly. Thank you, Malachi, Macy. God bless you all. All right, it's 9:11, but we'll sing one more song before the ministry of the word. So buckle your seatbelts and come on and lead us out, please, Heather. Thank you so much.
Say, thy strength.
Team this morning, and you may be seated, everyone, as we look to Mark chapter 5 in our Bibles. If you'll say amen quickly and regularly and passionately and fervently, then I'll preach faster this morning. So let's look to Mark chapter 5, verse. People are already having a shouting fit this morning, hoping for that. You know, let me just urge you all to know, all of you who are a little antsy this morning, let me just urge you to know the holiday does not start till tomorrow. So we're in regular service right now. Mark chapter 5, as we continue our study through the miracles of our Lord Jesus today, this is our 14th lesson in this series. And today we look at a powerful miracle of deliverance from the power of the devil. It's Mark chapter 5, verse 1. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. That's Jesus and his disciples. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. How many of you, if you could just get into your right mind, that would be a miracle. Say amen. Oh, so many times we need that clarification work of the Lord. There is the man. He had been a mess, but now he's sitting there clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. And everybody said amen. What a great story this morning. I'll tell you, the scriptures are always entertaining, aren't they? And the Gospels of the Lord Jesus Christ are packed with powerful stories of the Lord's work. He is, our Lord Jesus is a good, good Lord. Would you say amen? We've been studying his miracles in the pages of the Gospels because we believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And the one who performed miracles 2,000 years ago is still the miracle worker today. Could you say amen? We've been thinking about the miracles of Jesus in a variety of categories. And we've recognized that the miracles of Jesus demonstrate his authority over sickness. His authority over nature, His authority over death itself as he raised people from the dead. Today we're going to see his authority over the devil and demons. And ultimately, for us today, we're so grateful that Jesus has authority over our destiny. Would you say amen? And the devil doesn't have power to destroy us if we'll simply lean upon the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him. Jesus is more powerful than any enemy who could ever come against us. If God be for us, who can be against us? And so we're going to look today at a powerful story of a demonic dominion destroyed and a life redeemed to a brand new future. We have two chapters in our story this morning. We'll try to move very quickly today. We begin with the story of a maniacal demoniac. Try to say that three times fast. A maniacal demoniac. In other words, he was a maniac who was possessed by a demon. A man who was under the power of the devil. We begin by considering the coming of this man to Jesus on this particular day. And we note the placing of the miracle. Mark chapter 5 verse 1 says, they went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. Now, is my pointer somewhere in the, thank you, Pastor Peter. Thank you, I can't function without this. As we think about, here's our map that we've been looking at every Sunday morning for the last few months. As we've looked at the ministry of Jesus, and we see the country of Israel in Jesus' day, the Sea of Galilee up north, the Dead Sea down south, Jerusalem down here, Bethlehem where Jesus was born, Nazareth where Jesus grew up as a boy, the region of Galilee where Jesus performed much of his ministry during those 3.5 years that he ministered on earth. And today we find that Jesus is ministering over here in the area of Gennesaret. All right, or the region of the Gerasenes. At the end of this story, we're going to find that the man went and spread the testimony of his deliverance all down in the region of the Decapolis. And as we're coming into this story today, we recognize that when they arrive on site, maybe somewhere around here on that morning, they had been in the lake most of the night. The night before, Jesus was on the other side of the lake over here and had said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. And as they got into the boat, it was night, and Jesus fell asleep in the boat, and there in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, guess what arose? A storm. Well, every time we look at the Sea of Galilee in the scripture, something is stormy about it, it seems. And a storm arose in the middle of the night. Jesus got up. They woke him up from his sleep in the boat. And Jesus rose up and he calmed the storm and said, peace, be still. And the storm was calmed immediately. And they came to the far side of the shore of the Sea of Galilee where they meet this man who has come to Jesus. So that's the placing of the miracle. And we note the pursuit that took place in this miracle as well. Verse 2 says, when Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. And I want you to notice this morning that though this man was demon possessed, and though the power of the devil had a stronghold upon his life, that this man, when he saw Jesus, I want you to notice this, he ran to Jesus. Jesus got out of the boat, but the man ran to Jesus. Don't you know that even people who are dealing with the strongholds of the devil have a longing to be free? And somehow this man recognized Jesus as a miracle worker and he pursued the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture says, when Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. He came from the tombs. Think about that picture this morning. He came from a very dark place. And you know the truth is people come to Jesus from all kinds of dark corners. But listen, the darker and the dirtier they come, the more Jesus can do with them. And Jesus received this man and began his work. We consider the coming of the man. Secondly, we consider the condition of this man who ran to Jesus. First, we note that he lived in the tombs. Okay, verse 3 says, this man lived in the tombs, And no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. He was unmanageable. He was uncontrollable. He lived in the tombs and he lived as a terrorizer. Verse 4 says, he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Everybody say, until now. Okay. Nobody had been strong enough to subdue this man. Now, if this is not a demonstration of the power of evil spirits, I don't know what is. In this story, we see very clearly that through the power of demons, this man exercised what seemed to be superhuman power. He broke the chains off of himself. No one could bind him. No one could control him. Under the power of the enemy, he was absolutely unmanageable, and he lived as a terrorizer. And thirdly, he lived in torment. Verse 5 says, night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out. Oh, can you hear it? He would cry out. He would cry out and cut himself with stones. This was a pitiful picture. Sometimes we see people as agents of evil and we forget about the reality that the enemy has inflicted much evil upon them. Are you here today? This man was a terrorizer, but I want you to know he was being terrorized by the devil and demon spirits. And he cried out day and night and cut himself with stones. Demonic terrorists had invaded this man and were tormenting him. And Jesus arrives on shore and the man runs to Jesus. That leads us to chapter number 2 in this story, a miraculous deliverance that took place that day. And we note that Jesus dealt with the demons handily. I want to tell you that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And listen, no power of the devil is too great for the Lord Jesus to conquer. Amen? No darkness is too dark, right? Right? Nothing is too hard for the Lord our God to accomplish. And Jesus dealt with the demons. Note that the demons recognized the identity of Jesus. Verse number 6 says, when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, what do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me. For Jesus had said to him, come out of this man, you evil spirit. We note that the demons recognized Jesus as the Son of God. Other gospel stories reveal that truth to us as well. The demons knew who Jesus was. They recognized him. I remind you of one of my favorite stories in the book of Acts where 7 sons of a man named Sceva were going about trying to drive out evil spirits in the name of Jesus. They didn't know Jesus. They weren't followers of Jesus, but they heard that the name of Jesus was powerful. And so they were moving about saying, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. They did that one day, and lo and behold, the man in whom the demonic spirit was on that day spoke back to them and said, Jesus, I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you? And the Bible says that man in whom the demon spirit was jumped on them and tore their clothes off and drove them out of the house naked and bleeding. Listen, you don't want to get into a fight with the devil unless you know Jesus. How many of you know we got to have Jesus on our side to fight the devil effectively? And so here we see that the demons recognized Jesus for who he was, the Son of God. And the demons responded to the interrogation of Jesus. Verse 9, then Jesus asked him, what is your name? My name is Legion, he replied, for we are many. And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. Now think about the name by which this demonic spirit identifies himself. Many demon spirits. And he calls himself, he calls themselves Legion. A familiar word in the first century. Israel was under the dominion of the Roman government at that time. A Roman legion was a regiment of soldiers under the dominion of Rome, comprised of about 5,000 to 6,000 soldiers. Imagine 5,000 or 6,000 demons who had come to live within them. How many of you can understand the terror and the terrorism that would result from that? We've seen before in the pages of Scripture that multiple demonic spirits could possess a person. Mary Magdalene. One of my favorite characters in the Scripture, Mary Magdalene, the Scripture says, had been possessed by 7 evil spirits, but Jesus delivered every one of them. How many of you know Jesus can deliver 7, or he can deliver 7,000? Jesus had to, and Jesus himself told us a story about multiple demonic spirits possessing a person. This man was inhabited by a legion of demons. This was a powerful demonic dominion. And they begged Jesus not to send them out of the area. Luke's gospel in the parallel account says they begged Jesus not to send them back to the abyss or to the pit. Don't send us back to the pit. So they responded to Jesus. And thirdly, the demons retreated at the insistence of Jesus. Verse 11 says, a large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them. He gave them permission. And the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. What a fitting close. Amen. And there they are. The demons are gone. And the man is set completely free. The demons are gone from the man. They're gone to the pigs. But now the pigs are dead. And everything suddenly comes. Listen. Just like the night before, when Jesus had spoken to that stormy sea and said, peace, be still. Jesus had the power to do that to a body of water, and now Jesus has the power to do that for a man who has been plagued by the power of evil for many years. Think about the peace that came. As the man was set free, the demons went into the pigs, the pigs ran down the steep cliff and were drowned in the water, and now suddenly, in a place where there was chaos and confusion, the peace of Jesus reigns. Isn't that beautiful? And Jesus confounded the community with this miracle. They were amazed by his power. Verse 14 says, those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who'd been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed, and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. And here they are. The crowd looks at this and think, wow, what kind of power is this that has brought about this mighty deliverance? And they were afraid of his power. They were afraid. And verse 17 says, then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. A strange response, isn't it? A strange response. In fact, I think this is about the only response like this that we see in the Gospels, as far as I can track down. They were afraid of Jesus' power, and they pleaded with him to leave the country. What were they afraid of? I don't know. Maybe they were afraid that a Jesus who could bring such devastation to this kingdom of darkness in this man, that this Jesus perhaps had the power to change their whole world. And maybe they didn't want that much change. How many of you know not everybody wants the lordship and dominion of Jesus? Some people would say, no, I'm not ready. I'm not ready for wholesale change. And that's what Jesus specializes in, isn't it? Jesus specializes in turning us upside down, right? He turns the world upside down with his message. He changes a life from the inside out. In fact, the Apostle Paul said, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And Jesus brings radical transformation. Not everybody is ready for that. Not everybody wants that. Oh, listen, how many of you here today have tasted and you have discovered that the Lord is good? Say amen. You know, the reality is, if people only knew what a wonderful change Jesus could make in their lives, they would be willing to lay aside everything else and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He is a good Lord. Would you say amen? And listen, living under the lordship and authority of Jesus Christ is the best life ever. Why? Because the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus comes that we might have life and have it to the full. I don't know about you, but I want the abundant life that Jesus has come to bring. Could you say amen? And listen, getting the blessing and the fullness of the life of Jesus is worth laying aside everything the devil had ever planned for your life. And so here they are. They're afraid of his power. They ask him to leave. But in the end of the story, we see Jesus had liberated a life and a legacy. Jesus restored the man's health. Verse 15 says, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. Health, freedom had come to this man. Hallelujah. Jesus restored his health. And Jesus went beyond that. And Jesus was concerned about restoring the man's home as well. Not until the end of this story do we find out that this man had a home where his family had no doubt had been suffering and grieving over his condition and over his absence. But Jesus restored the man's home and said in verse 18, as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, listen to this, but said, go home. Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. I believe that was a sweet family reunion that day, don't you? As this man who had been absent from family, who had been being destroyed by the power of the devil. You know, listen to me, friends. When God destroys one member of the family, it brings great damage and destruction to the whole family. How many of you know that already? When the enemy targets and attacks one member of a family, the whole family can be spun into chaos and confusion and destruction and devastation. But thank God, when Jesus comes in, he can begin with one person and bring restoration to the whole. And Jesus brought restoration to this home. He restored the man's health. He restored the man's home. And finally, Jesus restored the man's hope. Verse 20, so the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. I think he began to sing across the land, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. I'm gonna praise his name. Each day, he's just the same. Come help me praise him. Look what the Lord has done. And praise God, Jesus had done a mighty work. Now we close this morning by looking at three simple messages from this miracle. One, the devil and demons are real spiritual enemies who steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to destroy the devil's work. Hallelujah. So reach out to Jesus for deliverance and freedom in every area of your life. Look at me, everybody. Is there an area in your life where you are not free? Is there a place in your life where the devil has wreaked havoc and where perhaps he still holds some sway? Does the devil have a thumb on your life in some area? I want you to know Jesus can break the stronghold of the devil and set you free. And Jesus himself said, if the Son sets you free, you will be how? You will be what? You will be free indeed, said the Lord Jesus. I believe every Christian ought to experience complete freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Listen. I don't believe any Christian believer, any follower of Christ, ought to be subject to the dominion, to the bondage of any kind of harmful addiction, any kind of harmful struggle. I don't believe Christians should be subject to the power of the devil when Jesus is our Lord. So if you're here today and you love Jesus, but the devil still has sway in your life, I want to encourage you to kick the devil out in the power of the name of Jesus. And reach out to Jesus for freedom. Number two, the devil fights believers for control of their lives and destinies. But the one who is in you is greater. So be alert and refuse to give the devil a foothold in your life. Because if you give him a foothold, he'll kick the door wide open. And you'll get far more than you bargained for. Don't let the devil have any influence in your life. Don't open your life to the power of sin. Are you here this morning? Don't let the devil poke things into your life or start to creep in with his influence into your life in the areas of temptation or the areas of fear or the areas of bitterness or unforgiveness or what we could preach all day about ways in which the enemy works against us. Don't let the devil have a foothold in your life. Refuse. And you can do that in the name of Jesus. And number three, spiritual warfare is real and sometimes fierce. So prepare yourself to be victorious in battle by being strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Pray, praise, worship, be filled with the Spirit, be strong in the word of God, submit yourself to God, take your stand. Resist the devil, says James chapter 4. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Don't allow the enemy to gain any victory in your life whatsoever, but be strong and live in the fullness of the freedom of the Lord Jesus Christ. What Romans chapter 8 calls the glorious liberty of the children of God. And listen, when you experience the fullness of the freedom of Jesus, you will declare it is glorious indeed, free indeed, through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.